All right. That's good. That's quite all right. Well, since it's not very many people, but you know, we talk about a lot about here about you know, I was thinking about the grace of God. We talk about that a lot, and without going too far into it, when I say grace, when we talk about we're saved by grace, when we talk about grace, what do you think about? Right, we say it's a unmerited favor, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So unearned, unmerited favor, right?
Right.
All right.
I've never thought of it that way.
What else?
I do see.
Okay, undeserved. What else?
It's a gift.
It's a gift, right?
We don't deserve it.
A gift.
We don't really deserve it.
Free.
Right. Okay. Freedom.
You can't earn it.
Right? Yeah, no. That's unearned. That's pretty much same as unmerited.
Mm-hmm. How about wonderful?
Okay. Put that up there. Wonderful. Just
for us, it's irrevocable.
Just wanted to pick your mind. That's a.
Well, I'm sure we didn't.
That's a big word. I was trying to think of something to sum it up. Irrevocable.
How about eternal?
Yeah, that's good enough. Okay. I can't spell irrevocable. I just wanted to sum it up.
I've always heard it pronounced. Irrevocable.
Okay.
I think it's tomato, tomato.
Now, see, that's a. Anything else? Not all that's true. All that's true. But here's a part of grace that we never, I won't say we never think about, but we should, because this is consistent with what?
Jesus.
Is Jesus, right? That's true. All that's true. Keep all that in mind.
You got one word for
because me. that's just like us. When I say just like us believers, people, to always think about what's in it for me. We always think about what's on my end. Mm-hmm. But we never think about this.
Remember, the tape can't see what you're writing on the
service. We never think about service. Yeah.
Don't think of it at that particular
time. We never think about it. And who said, somebody said Jesus. Who said Jesus? Which is great, because think about this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So keeping in mind that all those things that God has given us, and Jesus is the key word, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't get any of that. It wouldn't be free. It wouldn't be unearned. It wouldn't be irrevocable. It wouldn't be eternal. It wouldn't be unmerited. Everything hinges on what he did. That's why we preach Christ and him crucified. All right, in chapter 8, it says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says this. He's talking to the Corinthians about giving.
What verse?
In verse, chapter 8, verse 7, start at verse 7. Matter of fact, let's go back up to verse 5. Where the Corinthians were supposed to give, and they did give. And he says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we had, as we hoped, but first gave what?
Their own
selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, he says, for you know the what?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was
rich,
yet for your sakes he became
poor,
that ye through his poverty might be what?
Rich.
He talks to the Corinthians. They says, we would love to give, Paul. And they did. And the scripture says this, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. Now, that's a good testament against tithing. You can put a demand on a guy. You can say, give the Lord 10%. But if the Lord doesn't have him, guess what? He won't get 10%. He might fool you. He might do it, like Paul said, grudgingly or of necessity, but the grace is nowhere in it. But he says they gave themselves to the Lord and then us. And he says, you know the grace of our Lord, how that he was rich. How rich was he?
He was the God of the universe. Sitting up on the right hand.
He was the God of the universe.
Looking down on this planet.
You know what? I was thinking about this. Is why Jesus?
He was God's son.
He was God's son. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Like I said, why does everything hinge on Jesus Christ?
Because God wants.
What makes us Christians right and, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, all those other ones wrong? You ever think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, we might think about it, but we just notice everything hinges on this. It hinges on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, he says this. Now, keeping in mind about when we talk about grace, we must think about this too, is the service part. I'm not saying obligation. I'm saying gratitude.
You're talking about an outflow.
From
the grace that's been extended.
Because here's why I say that. Because we always think about us. We never think about that God has a purpose. We're just a part of his purpose. We have gotten, well, Christmas season is here, right? And we always talk about this is the reason for the season. Jesus, remember the reason for the season. We always do that. And we give gifts, right? We give gifts because we want to reflect the greatest gift, right? But even with the gift giving, we have forgotten, why did he come in the first place?
Correct.
We have forgotten his purpose.
We've always been like that.
We've always
been raised like that. Yeah.
But just because
me,
right? But just because, that's why we have to be unlearned. We have to be. I remember Ed saying it's not so much deprogrammed, right, Roy? It's not so much as what we don't know that hurts us. It's what we believe that's not true. So when you finally get that information challenged, it puts you in a predicament. It puts you in a position where you don't like to give it up.
Right.
Philippians chapter 2. He says, verse 1, if there be any, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, is it?
Yes.
If any comfort of love,
yes.
Is it?
Yes.
If any fellowship of the Spirit, is it?
Yes.
If any bowels of mercy, is it?
Yes.
Okay, Paul says, if it is, then fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other, what?
Better than themselves.
Better than themselves. That's a foundation for grace. We look at each other like this. If you meet up to my standard, then I'll do something. If you treat me right, guess what? I'll treat you right. If you do unto me right, Jerry, then I'll do unto you right. That's not grace.
Grace is I'll do unto you no matter what you do back.
Grace is what? I'll do unto you what?
No matter
what. No matter what. I'll do you right no matter what.
Because that's the right thing. That's love.
Okay. He said this. Let each esteem other
better
than themselves. Esteem.
We don't do that.
Let each put, I'm going to put you up here. I'm going to value you above me. What will make a man do that? Roy said, it's all about me. What would make a man put another man in front of himself?
Jesus, the grace of God.
Understanding
you know
your
God.
Purpose.
The grace of God. The other, you have to, it has to be a greater good.
Amen.
Somewhere.
It's not an ulterior motive. Huh?
It can't, right. You can't be, unless the motive is good. It can't be. It has to be something. What is the reward for a man to do that?
Self-reward.
Now, he, okay. Because it goes back to this. It goes back to that.
Amen. That's it.
If you serve yourself, then you won't think about giving up anything. Today, we step on people to get to where we want to go. But that's self-service. Grace is God's service. Okay. He said this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let this, what did, when he said let this mind be in you, is he saying, think
have,
like this.
Have the mind of Christ.
Love that baby as thyself.
Think like this. We see how we. I'm not saying this in a bad way. See how we got the right idea. We know it. We know the train of thought, but we don't
practice.
We don't practice it.
Right.
He said this. Let this mind be in you. Think like this.
Yes.
Think like this. As a man thinketh. Okay. I always say this: a man preaches what's in his heart. I was one of the guys in the class, and he always preaches law. He always preaches do. And they asked me, "This is well, why?" Is, and he stopped coming consequently. And they said, "Why does he do that?" I said, "A man preaches what's in his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh."
And he wanted that money every Sunday.
So I don't know what he wanted, but it wasn't, he wasn't after, he didn't have the mind of Christ. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was that? Well, let's see. Here it is. Who was what?
Being in the form of God.
Thought it not robbery to be what? Wait. What does it mean, thought it not robbery to be equal with God?
He was God.
Thought it not robbery. What is robbery?
To take what doesn't belong
to you. To usurp something. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So, if you put me up here, we're equal, mm-hmm. right? He said, I thought it not robbery to be equal with God because what? He was God. Mm-hmm. Like Frank said, he's God the Son. Before he was God the Son, he was what?
God.
He was God.
That's hard to get your mind around, I'll tell you.
I know. Here, see, keep that in mind. He said, that's hard to get your mind around. It's hard to get your mind around, but he's saying, this is the kind of mind I want you to have. Mm-hmm. Now, he said this. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but step one, he did what? He made himself what?
No reputation.
No reputation. What's a reputation?
Of being whatever you want people to think you are.
And you get a reputation by what?
How you are.
By
acting.
Doing things that you've done. So he can say this, like this. He says in Colossians, by him were all things created. And without him was not anything made that was made. By him he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. By him were created all things, whether principalities, powers, dominions, might, rulers. All things were created by him and for him. Right? He can say that. He can say, hey, this is mine. He came to his own, and his own, when he say his own, it's not just the people, it's the whole shooting match. It's the whole thing, right? He came to the things that were rightly his. That you think that when he came down, what I think is a psalm that people quote all the time, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to the Lord. The cattle on a thousand hills, the cattle, the thousand hills, the land that the hills are in, the earth, all that. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The cross he hung on.
The cross he hung on, right. So he says, but all those things I made, he says, don't talk about them. Let's not talk about that. Don't recognize me for my accomplishments. I know I'm all wise. I know I'm all powerful. I know I'm omniscient. I'm all that. I know that. Okay? But I'm after something here. So, no reputation. You come in like undercover boss. You ever seen that show on TV? Where the guy, he owns the company. Now, they don't do it right. I know it's staged. All TV is staged. Don't y'all know that, in case y'all didn't know that.
You're kidding.
Because if but he comes down to the company, and he pretends to be a worker. That's what he does. They might say, well, how long you been doing this? It's my first day. I just want to get on the ground floor. But he's after something. That man is after something. He wants to make the company better. Right?
Right.
Okay. No reputation, right? Next one. He did what?
Form of a servant.
Form of a servant. Mm-hmm. Form of what?
Servant.
Servant. He takes upon him the form of a servant. What does a servant do?
Serve
for others. He does for others.
He gives up what?
Who he is
for what?
To serve
somebody else. The Lord said something. He said something real. Keep in mind now, this is grace. This is the grace, what begets the service. The Lord said this to the 12 disciples in John. He says, I'm calling you guys together because I want to tell you what's next. And he said this. He said, I don't call you servants anymore. He said, I call you what?
Friends.
Why?
More intimate relationship.
A more intimate relationship. But he said this. He says, I call you friends, not servants. Because a servant, Look at John. Hold your hand in Philippians. Look back at John chapter. John chapter 5. No, it's not 5. John. I'll quote it in a minute. 15. John chapter 15. He said this. Verse 11. Start of verse 11. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain." Got it, Frank? 15?
Yeah, I got it.
15. 15, 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do what?
Whatsoever
I command you." That's not grace. But I'm giving an example here.
Right.
"Henceforth, from this point on, I call you not servants, for the servant, what?
Knoweth
not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known," what?
"Unto you."
"Unto you." Okay, now back to Philippians. He took upon him the form of a servant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, he act just like he didn't know what was going on. The Lord did. Although he did. He said that's why he said it took him home the form of a servant.
Mm-hmm.
In Hebrews, he said this. He says, "I'm coming in the volume of the book to do what? To do thy will, O Lord. It's written." He said, "It is written." He says, "I come to do." "I'm coming to do
thy will."
Well, whose will was it?
Okay.
It was both of theirs.
Yeah.
But
The Godhead.
Because everything that they planned, a plan on paper is no good. Hello?
Yes.
A plan on paper is no good. It has to have someone who will what? Implement the plan. Jesus Christ, he says, "Well, I'll plan it and I'll become the implementer also." Who better to implement a plan of grace than me?
Amen.
I've said, I can't get Noah to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get Moses to do this. I can't get David to do this. Not this. Not this plan.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. This plan, I have to get the ball rolling.
Power.
Took upon him a form of a servant, and what? Next one.
And was made in the likeness of men.
Likeness of men. Likeness of men, and what else?
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself.
Fashion as a man. He said, you know what? He didn't come down. He didn't come down like a alien, like, you know, like where you can look at him and say, "Who's that?" Or what? He came down just like us.
In fact, it said he had no confidence.
And you know what? I like that too. And he didn't come down like a good-looking man with all the accolades. He came down to right. He came down. Where you would see, when you look at him, you would say,
"What's that about him?
What's it to him? Right? What's why him? Remember when David when they were picking the king,
right.
And David had 8 sons,
right.
Samuel said this. He said to David, he says, Jesse, thank you.
Is that it?
He said, go get your sons. We'll make one king. First thing he did was got the firstborn. It got to be him. He said, no, not that one. Go get the other. And he put them, he paraded every one of them up there. All the way down to the baby. And he said, oh, you know, not him.
He wasn't even there.
He wasn't even there. He said, we got one more. But he out in the field. You can't want him. That's the one I want. The one that you don't want is the one I want. Because it's not who man esteemeth, it's who God esteemeth.
Amen.
He said, that's the service I want. So he goes, he gets him. He said, that's the one. That's the one. King David. And the scripture said he was ruddy.
Yeah.
He was he's not here, and I hope they don't take us the wrong way. You know James that comes here? Mm-hmm. I think of him, David. You want a king or you want a warrior? He said, Go get James. James, Turner's son James. Go get James. And he says he was found in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as man. He didn't walk around with a billboard saying, look at me, I'm God in disguise. You know what? He wore what everybody else wore. You know, on a side note, you know what we do? If we want to be recognized for our service, we put on a collar.
We dress up.
We put on robes.
Flesh. Got to raise the flesh.
And big hats, whatever we want to do, big, right, chain across this big.
Yeah.
So everybody see you, they know what? Man, I'm serving God. Look how the grace is working in me. And he says, that's not what he did. He said, let this mind be in you that was in him. Right? He says, now, he came down from a position that he had.
High above all.
Of high above all. All right, keep going. He said this.
He humbled himself.
And he did what?
He humbled
himself and became what?
Obedient to death.
Obedient to who?
To his father.
So if he was obedient unto death, he had to have some information that God wanted followed, right?
Right.
And he said it. He knew what the plan was. He came, not my will, but thy will. So when he gets to the end, when he gets to the cross, he says, Father, I almost got it done.
No.
What did he say?
I've accomplished everything you did.
He said, Father, it is
finished.
But he said another thing too, didn't he?
He said 7 other things. But he said this. Look at this. Now, this is God's point of view. Now, he says, wherefore?
Okay.
For this cause. For what cause?
For being obedient.
Because was he obligated to do this?
Following the plan.
Was he obligated?
If he was the Son of God,
he was
put in that place, he was obligated.
Now, Frank said this. Frank said if he was the Son of God, put in that place, he was obligated. But we're looking at the passage that proves to us that he did this.
He chose.
Now,
his plan.
The Lord, when he was on earth, he said this. He says, no man.
Take my life. That's what came up.
No man. What?
Takes my life. But I laid it down to redeem. Come on.
He said, this commandment.
Yeah.
This commandment I have of my Father.
Yes.
At any point, at any step of the way, I can say what?
I can
call down.
I can
abort.
Come on.
Abort the mission.
Anytime.
All right. I could stop. He said, "This, I got this. This commandment I have of my Father. At any point, you want to call it quits? Call it quits."
Wow.
What else did he say?
Now, he did it. You know why he did it? That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor. Not for you, not because it was all resting on you, but because it was a bigger plan, and he wants you to be in on it. God says, got the eternal purpose. God said this. He says, I'm going to use them, and I'm going to show them how wise I am, how great I am, how gracious I am, because I'm going to go get some people that's not even thinking about me, and I'm going to show them something they've never seen before.
And the power of love and the power of grace.
Mm-hmm. So, he does this. He said, wherefore? For this cause, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is
Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord to the what?
Glory of God the Father.
When he carries out that plan, he says, now, because you esteemed my will above your will, he says, you get it all back. Wow. After it's all done, he said, now come on here where you ought to be, where you left, where you gave up. Now, he said, when I talk about grace and service, that same plan, the same what God has invested in the Lord Jesus Christ carried that out. Now, God said this. He says, now I'm doing something today. Okay? God says, I'm doing something today, and it's not to make you a football player, leader of the NAACP, or the top salesman.
Some great position.
On this earth.
All right, man.
He says, I'm doing something that has nothing to do with the things that you entangled in. That's why he said this. No man called to be a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who called him to be what? A soldier. Because the minute, see, when you get bought, you know what? Consequently, that's one of the things about our politicians, and we're not going to get into it. He said this. The powers that be are what? Ordained of God. They're putting. God said, they serve me. There's no powers. Look at Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but what?
Of God.
And the powers that be are what?
Ordained of God.
That's why he said, well, let me keep going. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the what?
Ordinance
of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. He said, I know they corrupt. I know that. He says, but I put them in place for the orderly function. Okay? He says, so Jerry, don't talk back to him. Don't tell the police what you won't do. He says, if you resist the power, you're resisting the what? The ordinance of God. So he tells you in 1 Timothy, he says this, first of all, I say this, first of all, that prayer, supplication, and giving thanks be made for all men, for those that are in authority, for kings, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. He said, that's first thing I want. So, it's all about, like I said, this is for grace. These are people who say, I'm saved by grace. Okay, now, back to that. He said this, in keeping with the grace and service. Paul said this, when the Lord saved him, right, on Damascus Road, on the way to Damascus, he saved him. We always talk about it. Paul was saved by what?
Grace.
By grace. He said this. He said, I saved you that you would be a minister and a witness of the things that you'll see. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, you could check this, and you have to do this on your own time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Start at verse 9. He said this, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are laborers together with God. look up here. We are laborers together with God. Okay? Can you imagine when you get saved? Now, this is Paul. Paul's talking, but this includes us now. He says, you are a laborer with God. Amen. Amen. You hear people say, what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? You think that?
Yeah, we've all done that.
And he's
take the grit and suppress.
That's why the doctrine is so important. See, he says, how many people know that they're laborers with God right now? Now we have people work with us and they're lazy. They are what scripture called purloiners.
Purloiners.
Where they only start working when the manager is there. You know, when you see they're still in time. They're still in time. Ed did a message last week about redeeming the time. You're supposed to buy up the time. You won't do that. You won't serve if you're not grateful. You won't serve if you're not grateful. You won't serve if you don't realize the aim of the company. You know what you see all the time with people working these jobs, good jobs. And they say, well, you know, Jerry got fired. What happened? He was stealing the meat. You working for the company. They paying your salary, giving you vacation, giving you bonuses. And you turn around and you're going to do the very thing that's going to cause your company to go out of business.
So you're stealing from yourself.
You're stealing from yourself.
And your throat, yeah.
Right. You biting the hand that feeds you. So the reason I said that is this. Is you talk about serving, being serving out of grace. Is the very thing that the program that we're on, it asks for your service.
Yes.
But if you don't know what's going on, guess what you would do?
Be stealing.
sit down. Sit down. All that stuff we talked about, unmerited favor, all that grace, all those grace goodies. Do your friends know about this?
Okay.
Have you told somebody about the good thing you found? You say, you know what? I know you're going over there and they got you on the treadmill. Let me tell you something. You ever heard about this? You ever heard about the grace of God? If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, now let's get back to this before I run out of time, where he said this.
Where are we?
Verse 9. We're laborers together with God. According to the
grace of God,
which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said this. He says, I have gotten grace as a wise master builder. Now, watch the correlation here. I got grace as a what?
Wise master builder.
What does the builder do?
Constructs.
He builds.
Follows the architect's plan.
What does the builder do? He builds. He serves. And it just so happened that Paul said this, what I build is people. Mm-hmm. I build other builders.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Other builders for what? For his purpose.
For the service. Yeah.
For the service of Christ. He says, I got this grace. All the way back. Go all the way back to Acts chapter 9. I got the grace back there. Right?
This is my job.
My new job. I got what I didn't deserve, but he didn't kill me. Right?
Yeah.
Unmerited favor, all that stuff we talked about. He says, I got that. Yeah. He says, but I got the grace plus some information
that's
causing me to serve. So if you just say I'm saved by grace and don't get the information that goes with it.
That's right.
He says, I receive grace as a wise master builder. Right? In Romans, he said this. He said, we receive grace and apostleship for the obedience of all nations. I know y'all missing this. He said this. He said, the reason I'm made an apostle, the reason I got this grace is because I have some information that's going to equip you. You know why we're so confused today? Even though we're talking about grace, everybody talks about grace, but we're not on the same page. Because the grace they think about is what's in it for them.
Right.
They don't think about that you receive grace to what?
Serve. Right.
Okay, Ephesians.
Well, it's not to sit in a pew.
It's not to sit in. It's not to say this. It's not to say, I'm saved by grace through faith plus nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are.
Because then you got to read on to Ephesians 2:10.
We are his
workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Unto good works.
Unto what?
Good works.
Unto what?
Good works.
Which God hath what?
Ordained.
That we should what?
Walk.
That we what?
Should serve.
And there's your cardinal-minded Christian right there.
See, and what we do, it's just like us. That's the way it is when you get what's in it for you, I'm on the shutdown. That's it.
That's a sad thing, too, isn't it?
Ephesians chapter. Let's start at verse 1. Let's start at chapter 1, I'm sorry. First thing he says, grace be to you, right? Matter of fact, we're in Galatians, but you notice Paul starts all his epistles off the same way. And he's saying, grace be to you. And the thing is this, is you who were no good to God. He said, you are the children, you were the a child of wrath. You deserved his judgment. He says, you didn't have anything good coming from God. He says, but you, he took. And we'll get to that. He said, you he took, and he did something. So all his letters, he says, grace to you. And it's not just his attitude towards you, but it includes some information that he has for you, which, like you said, Karen, it includes a new identity for you, a new job for you, a new purpose for you. So, and keeping in mind, he wants you to know that, and it's not all about you.
And they don't have to do a background check either.
He says, number one, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what?
All spiritual blessings
in heavenly places. Okay. He said this, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what?
Holy and without blame
before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There you go, his grace. He says, Jesus Christ, he did something. He had you in mind before the what?
Foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world.
Thank you.
He had you in mind.
For service.
So for me to make Jerry adequate for service, and I already know his state. I remember you said something where Melissa was talking, and she said, God said, he knew I was going to fail. He said, Melissa, I see you. He sees you. He's those who are to come, who are, maybe they haven't been saved yet. Don't you know he knows our shortcomings? Don't you know he knows our thoughts and our intents? Don't you know that he knows we need work?
Right.
Don't you know I see you? I see you. He says, but I have what? Predestinated you unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his
grace
wherein he hath made us what? There you go. There you go. Unmerited favor. All that good stuff. He says, I made you acceptable.
Yes.
So why do you think it's all about you? It's not. He says, I'm doing something here. And if I don't give it to you, it just won't happen.
You ain't going to get it.
He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein his grace he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and what?
Prudence.
How's that? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, or his grace, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and both and which are in earth. But he said this. He says, according to his good pleasure, he did this. Because of whose plan?
God's plan.
His plan. That he purposed in himself.
Amen.
Now, it's a verse that says, who had known the mind of the Lord that they might instruct him?
For we have
right.
Christ. Amen.
Or,
what did he say?
Amen.
What?
What did Roy say?
What did you say, Roy?
Right. It's being right. You know, like the moving, trading places. With Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Murphy and Eddie Dow hollering, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
They gave him everything he needed for success.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And matter of fact, they put him in a spot and they said, all this is yours. They gave him all the information he needed to be successful, didn't he?
Right.
And he had the thief mentality. So they put him in that position, and he began stealing stuff. And they said, hey, wait a minute. Say, hey, did you not understand?
This is yours.
This is yours. All these resources are yours for you to help the company. And he said, you mean this mine right here? He said, yeah, that's yours. You mean tell me I can drop this? And he said, you can do whatever you want to do with it. It's yours. Now, let's wrap this up. He said this. He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and knowledge. God's plan, he has revealed it to us. What God wants to do, he has revealed it to us by his grace. And he's saying this to us, like Roy said. Thank you for that, Roy. He says, all this is yours. He says, what I'm doing now, you know. Like he says, a servant knows not what his master is doing.
So we call us friends.
But he said this, we're not just friends. He says, we are
laborers together.
We are sons now.
Heirs.
See, this is why this is the importance of doctrine. Scripture is you don't take this stuff to Sunday school. The stuff we do, I mean, you know, we go in and put on our nice clothing, and we go in and they tell us about you know, Jesus loves you, which he does, and be good. But Jesus wants you to be good. And that's it. And you go on back home and treat everybody right now. And God is sitting there, he says, man, I got an eternal purpose I need you to know about. I've revealed it to you. And he said this. He says, having made known, that's past tense, to us. Now, the reason I say this, and I know this is challenging a bit, and I want to do that, because you're not too old to know what God's doing, Jerry. Why? What else do we need to know? If nothing else, like you said, you know what? He says, I may have went to church years and didn't know I was saved by grace. But when you know you're saved by grace, you get it and you hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Right? But, and then God said this. Now, I know you saved by grace, but did you know something else? That it's just not all about you. It's just not that I just came down to do these great things for you. I got something invested in you. I'm through you. I got some. I got some plans for you. He could have saved us and just took us on to heaven. He says, "But I didn't do that." Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "And you, hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." There you go. By what?
By grace.
By grace are you saved. And hath what?
Raised
us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right. Now wait. He says, you're saved by grace. Mm-hmm. He says, amen. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. He quickened us. Amen. Right? Yes. He says, now, we sitting right here, and I'm looking at you. He said, but guess what? He said, you in heavenly places right now.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ. And you say, what? I don't believe that. Because you know what we do? Instead of looking at him, we look at us. You say, you mean to tell me the way I cussed this morning and I'm in heavenly places? In Christ? He said, I mean to tell you that. Yeah. Not only that, and I'm in you.
Amen.
Till the day of redemption. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He says, why you got so much invested in me, God? Why you put me up there and you in me? Why you got so much grace in me? Why are you focusing on me so much, God? I'm not that hot. No, you're not that hot. But my plan is, it's smoking hot. My plan for you is, here's my plan for you. He said this, that, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Now, he said, all that's on another lesson, but he's saying this. He says, you're his workmanship. You're his workmanship. You remember when Aaron made the calf?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He fashioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told God, he says, well, I just took the jewelry and I threw it in the fire. And he said, and out popped this calf. That's what he said.
You're right.
You think he lied?
He lied. He said, no, you had some intention behind the thing you made. And as a matter of fact, later on in the verses, he says, and they transgressed in the golden calf, which Aaron made. But God says, you're my workmanship,
mm-hmm.
created in Christ Jesus.
Unto service. Good works.
Works that I ordained. Then we have to find out what those are. But he says, I've done something in you, Jerry, to equip you to be of service to me.
Amen.
He's given you a position. He's given you the Spirit. You can never say, you can never get to God and say, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Unless you slept through it.
You can't get to God and say, I didn't know. Well, you could. You could, because maybe we don't have the background on it. But you can never get up there and say, there's no way I could comprehend it. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians. He says, I want you to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. He says, I want you to want it. So you can get it. He said, but I want you to want it. Because that's consistent with grace. He says, if you don't want it, you don't get it. What do you want? He says, grace. By grace we serve. Not just saved. But how far do you want to go with it? See, the longer it is, he says, hey, you can get your end of it. And then, you know, you ever bought a car and it was a lemon? And the guy, he sold you, oh, this is great. And you get it. And they break down, you're like, he took my money. He cheated me. Did God get everything he bought when he got you? Is his grace working in you the way he wants it to work in you? And he can get to you. Only thing that guarantees his purchase is this, is he's the one who does the fixing. Other than that, oh, he'd be cheated big time. He would be cheated. He would say this. Hey, that's what, when he gets there, he says, I know what I bought when I got it. Like, what is this salvage, this thing I watch? I watch a home improvement show, it's Salvage Dogs, where they go in and the building's scheduled for demolition, and they go in and get all the good stuff out of there and repurpose it. That's what God done for you. for me. He said, you ready for the scrap heap? And he goes in, and he, you know what? He gets that good stuff. He pushed that good stuff in you to salvage you.
Yeah, because there's nothing good enough.
Ain't nothing. All right. Last thing. He said this. Verse. Ephesians, that is. Okay. Chapter 7, 4. Chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Okay. He says, after all that he's done, and he says this. He says, everything you get, all this information, all this grace doctrine we talk about, he said, it's for a reason. It's for you to supply it to the next guy.
Amen.
That's what service, that's what grace does. Grace gives. Mm-hmm. And it's not just giving things, it's giving is given yourself, and is given information of what God is doing today. And what God, you know, what keeps it going is when everybody knows what's going on. We don't know what's going on, so we don't serve right. So God said this. He says, now, you got it. He says, look at verse 16. He says, I don't want you food anymore. He says that we grow, that we be fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It's information. It's grace information. He says, verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And when he gets through in verse 5 or chapter 5, he says, be ye followers together of God as what?
Dear children.
And then when he finishes up, he talks about redeeming the time.
Amen.
Now this, when to finish this up about grace is, and this is what Paul does. He gives us information about what God is doing today and what God wants you to do. And without that information, when he says, this given unto me to testify the gospel of the grace of God. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given to me, he says, I was a wise master builder according to the grace that's given unto me. And it's not just being saved. It's being educated about what God is doing. And that's what this is for. We don't come here to, get excited, to get emotional. I can listen to the radio at home and get emotional.
Good day.
When I come to the scripture, I want to know what God is doing.
Amen. Thank you,
God.
Yes.
And I know, and part of it is knowing that it's not all about me.
Right.
If I want to do my thing, I just stay at home and do my thing. But if I want to do his thing, I need to find out
how to do it.
I need to find out by what grace is invested in me that I might, number one, know it. And then, you know what? The option is up to you. And you can serve him if you want to. And you don't have to. That's consistent with the first part of grace. Now, When Lot, and we'll, this is the last thing, when God went to Abraham and he said, I'm going to burn this place up, right? He says, now you, anybody in there who believes, he said, you need to get them out. And he says, well, first thing Abraham did, because Abraham had received grace, the first thing he thought about was his nephew. He said, man, if he burned up Sodom, guess what? My nephew's in Sodom. He might have multiplied in Sodom. You know, he had daughters and sons. So Abraham says, well, would you destroy it for 50? Why did Abraham do that?
He was negotiating.
Why? He was thinking. He was on grace. He was thinking of Lot. He didn't want Lot to miss out. He didn't want. So he says, well, 40, 30, 20, 10. And God says, okay, 10. So he goes in. And a matter of fact, before that, God said this to Abraham. He said, shall I keep this thing from Abraham, seeing that he is my friend? So he goes to Lot, and he says, you got to get out. The angel says. And Lot, and it said, he began to talk to him, and it said, he seemed as one that mocked under them. Lot was getting God's purpose. He says, and I'm going to burn this city up. We got God's purpose. We talk about Paul and his message. We seem as one that mocks to people. When they talk about the grace of God and this given to Paul and this message, and like, where do you get that from? But we know. So he goes in Lot, he says, you got to get out. And the scripture said he lingered. That means he's getting ready to burn this place up, and Lot kind of like, and he says, come on, you got to go. You got to go, right. You got to leave everything associated with this place. You got to leave everything associated with this place because I'm burning it up. I got nothing invested in this place. I got nothing here. So he goes through and he gets out. And when Lot said this, he says, oh, I got to do this. I got to show you this. Let me stop this tape. So anyway, he said this. I see that you've been gracious to me and you showed me things. He says, you've been merciful to me. And he says, but let me go over here to this city. And that's just like us, where even though we got all this grace, everything God has showed us, we still have excuses for doing what he wants us to do. And God says, okay, go to the city. I've heard you in this matter. He said, go on to that city. And then he burned up Sodom. Now, God has been so good to us, so gracious to us. If all you want is salvation, I'm glad for you. I'd rather you be saved than not saved. I rejoice in your salvation with you.
But you're leaving a lot on the table.
But you're leaving, if you don't go further, you're leaving a lot on the table. And God, he wants you to eat grace to the full.
Amen.
And it's like he asked the man, wilt thou be made whole? Now, I hope this was something that just sparked a little interest or challenged you a little bit. Or like I say, a grace kick in the pants with charity. That's right. Right.
Thinking of this
right.
Way over here today.
It just
I couldn't believe what you were talking about.